Welcome to the Application Acceleration Challenge interview series. I have with me Mark Irvin of Packeteer. Packeteer is a longtime leader in the WAN optimization field and in application monitoring, and has come on strong with the addition of application acceleration techniques to its product offering. Mark is Director of Product Marketing and has over 10 years' experience, primarily focusing on network performance, is very relevant to the acceleration area. So let's begin, Mark, and thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, truth is that, you know, we act like acceleration is for everything, every protocol, every instance. But the truth is that it's good for some applications and is probably not needed for other applications. Can you help us and understand what applications do you think it is particularly good for?
Yeah, you know, Robin, you raise a good point. There's for large documents, for big data sets, there's no substitute for protocol acceleration and caching. You know, if you're trying to move around a large CAD drawing, a big PowerPoint document over the wide area network, those technologies are irreplaceable for making that a fast-performing type of operation. The key is, I think you started to point out, is understanding its limitations. For instance, you know, those same technologies can be a little bit dangerous because they enable applications like your iTunes and YouTube,
right,
that are also big file sets.
Okay, so for things like email with attachments, CAD/CAM, any file retrievals, anything that's a large data set, application acceleration, WAN optimization should be a key technology and something looked at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. But that implies that there's the other side of the coin, that, you know, we shouldn't be applying acceleration to everything over the wire. I mean, there's probably some things that are not best applied to.
Right, and those fall into two categories. One are the problem traffic that you don't necessarily want to enable, you know, things like iTunes or YouTube. But then there's really, you know, a set of applications where, you know, protocol acceleration, it doesn't really help anything. You know, as a for instance, if you have, you know, and generally it's involving, you know, small data sets associated with something like a credit card swipe from a retail location, or an order entry operation within SAP. Things that are, you know, kind of smaller sort of data sets that are moving over the wire and not necessarily constrained by the protocols and latency that you see, you know, affecting large file transfers.
So from what I'm hearing you say, anything that has small transactions, you know, like you used the example of the credit card, some of the ERP, basically some of the short screens or short messages in the old client-server applications, probably acceleration is not going to do anything for, right?
Yes, exactly right. Small data sets, and even as they move over, you know, web interfaces, that's true. And then, you know, one other example that, you know, it's useful to bring up is, you know, the increasing prevalence of voice over IP and IP telephony on the wide area network. Just another example of, you know, very small, very latency sensitive type of data that acceleration technologies don't do much for.
Okay, well, let's say I should keep away from those, but let's say I apply acceleration to all those. Is it going to hurt? Is there any downside? I mean, is accelerating VoIP traffic a problem?
Well, you really can't accelerate voice over IP because it's not a protocol latency issue. It's really just making sure that it doesn't get stepped on by other types of traffic. And I'll give you a useful example of how acceleration can be dangerous, because things like iTunes, YouTube, any rich internet applications that are moving large data sets, you know, around the network are also benefiting from acceleration. And when you have protocol acceleration, it's basically taking the handcuffs off of those applications, allowing them to consume as much bandwidth as they can get. And that has the impact of often pushing out other applications like voice over IP or some of those transactional applications that, don't need acceleration. They just need enough, you know, enough bandwidth to work properly. So that it can be actually dangerous if you don't intelligently apply it to the right places.
Sounds like, though, it's what you're telling me is acceleration without bandwidth management and QoS can be dangerous, because I could make everybody get their iTunes faster, but I may be making the email slower because it's competing against that. That what I really need is acceleration with QoS and bandwidth management, and without that combination, it could lead to problems. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, you are exactly right. And there's one third element that I would add into there. It's the intelligence to tell the difference between these things. Because let's face it, everything from, you know, a file transfer, you know, everything works over port 80 these days. And so you have to have enough intelligence to understand what is recreational traffic, what's a useful business application, and that is really what drives those, you know, those other technologies. So intelligence is the key to differentiate these different things and apply the right technologies, QoS acceleration, in the right place.
Well, how do I tell? I mean, I'm out there shopping for an accelerator. Hopefully your equipment's in the mix. But what type of question do I ask to find out that they have the capability to understand the difference and be able to handle this problem?
Well,
I'm sure if I ask, everybody's going to say they're all wonderful, right?
Right. You know, here's a way to tell. Because everybody's going to say, yeah, we've got QoS technologies, and the difference is, all right, can you tell the difference when we plug in your box? Can you show me the difference between, you know, YouTube and a CAD drawing transfer? You know, can you find things like peer-to-peer applications? You know, things like BitTorrent, things like, you know, you pick your peer-to-peer application, because if they can't, you know, find those types of applications and differentiate between all the different traffic types, you know, all the QoS in the world isn't going to do any good. So everybody's got some level of QoS technologies. It's a question of, do they have enough intelligence to discriminate where those things are applied? So a simple rule of thumb is say, hey, can you help me pick out, you know, what is YouTube, what is iTunes, what is BitTorrent or other recreational applications, and how can I separate those from my CAD drawing transfers or my PowerPoint transfers? So those are some simple questions that you can ask to make sure they have enough information to be able to use those mechanisms.
Okay, I understand. I mean, a lot of things hot in the web traffic and others, and you got to be able to drill down and tell what sub-application or what's the real application underneath there. And that sounds like a good way to tell.
Yeah, and it's got to be easy to do. Otherwise, you'll never get there.
Okay. Let's move on to another subject. I've noticed that Packeteer has talked very much about his partnership with Microsoft.
Right, absolutely.
What is the partnership? I mean, what does that bring to you that helps make your solution one of the best in the industry?
Well, we do a couple things with Microsoft. First, we work with them to understand the protocols that they use in moving applications around and moving documents around. Because when you're talking about documents, when you're talking about providing solutions for the remote office, you know, Microsoft is just a key part. So our partnership, it works both at the engineering level as well as at the technology level too. You know, and I think the big benefits here, Robin, are that, one, we're always compatible and make sure that we don't break the security parameters like SMB signing. This is a hash function that often breaks or you know, that often if you have the SMB signing on, you know, a lot of protocol accelerators just won't work. And that becomes more and more important as things like Vista and Windows Server 2008 roll out, because those security technologies are on by default. So that's what compatibility is key. But there's really a second piece of it, because we can, with our partnership with Microsoft, can deliver a superior return on investment in cost of ownership, because what we're doing is we're actually bundling some of the services that you can use in a remote site onto our platform. So this allows, you know, customers to be able to not only maintain high security, but also achieve kind of the cost benefits that come from better equipment consolidation that really can't be matched by any other vendor.
So Well, if I understand you correctly, with your partnership with Microsoft means that a lot of the functions that you get in a server, not just the data is moved up to the data center and you're using acceleration techniques to deliver it quickly, but the functions like DHCP, local print, and all the others are still provided locally, you know, and thus you can really get rid of your server. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's correct. You know, Packeteer acts as a delivery point, a DNS, DHCP, print, domain controller, even acting as a system management server or SMS delivery point to get rid of all that other equipment, but, you know, allow you to maintain those services locally because it's better performance, it's less load on the wider network, and frankly, it's a high continuity and availability architecture because you're not relying on that WAN link or the data center for every single thing that you do.
Now, adding those functions, you know, that's the good side, but does it make my life more complicated in installing the accelerator or deploying the solution?
You know, so first of all, it's an option. So it's something that you can choose to deploy or choose not to. And, you know, as you add a service, there is an additional configuration step. But one of the benefits that we have is that all those services, all the print services, SMS, and everything like that, are managed within the Microsoft framework that you already have. So there's no parallel infrastructure that you have to set up for print services. There's no, you know, huge challenges you have to do with dealing with a whole new sort of SMS distribution. All the management plugs into the existing framework. So maybe an additional configuration step, but plugging right into the Microsoft management paradigm.
Since I already had a server down there, I was already doing that. So your partnership with Microsoft means that it can go seamlessly from their boxes or the servers to your equipment, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's move on to a third issue, one I hear about in the industry. Some vendors are arguing out there that the acceleration should be part of the router infrastructure. Some people say, well, isn't this something that should go into a server? Since you don't make routers or servers, You're probably taking it that it's best to be a standalone or a separate appliance. Could you explain your logic or reasoning behind that?
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, we feel that over time, you know, whether it's Microsoft, you know, solving some of the protocol issues that they have in their TCP stack, or some of the issues that they have with the SIS protocol, you know, software and system vendors will get, you know, a lot more efficient about how their protocols work over the wide area network. And so those technologies, you know, over time, and by the way, sometimes that's a considerable amount of time, because even in Vista and Longhorn, there's no significant improvement in those sorts of protocols. You know, those may be baked into software or even into the router. But you have to look at really, one, bridging that gap between, you know, when those are actually fixed and when they roll into other infrastructure parts, but also take a look at what are all the other issues happening in the wide area network and how do those impact performance of applications. So, you know, one technology is certainly not enough to justify a new, you know, strategic asset as far as, you know, performance and as far as a dedicated equipment set. But there are enough issues coming up that really will continue to drive this as an issue and require other technologies.
So basically you're saying that we're still early in the development of all the techniques we will eventually need or eventually deploy, and that at this point it's better to have it in a box that can evolve on its own time frame to solve these problems rather than being tied into other infrastructures, which can take a long time?
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at all the changes in the applications and networking, you know, look at, you know, over the next couple of years, just the huge migration that's expected to, you know, IP telephony over the wide area network. Looking at how that moves into unified communications, rich internet applications that are, you know, every day there's a new way to entertain consumers, and that goes into the workplace. Look at service-oriented architectures and the, you know, not only the increased overhead in those communications, but really some of the challenges in understanding what is an application and how to optimize it. So all of those things are really at different stages, even today, impacting, you know, the application performance of mission critical systems. And so what we think is that, you know, it's not just about acceleration technologies, but, you know, a broader and deeper portfolio, you know, things like the ability to identify these applications, to monitor their performance, you know, protect the key things, and then use optimization technologies where it's useful, both for today's traffic and for the things that we can't necessarily see yet.
Okay, so since you brought up monitoring, I'm assuming that the monitoring goes hand in hand with acceleration from your view, since you need to understand the difference of the different type applications, like is it YouTube or is it some important portal application. So your monitoring technology is sort of reinforcing your acceleration technology?
Absolutely. It's about being able to identify all the applications and not become an SAP or an application expert in order to do that, but understand what's running on the network. Measure your key, you know, measure the performance of your key applications. You know, track the response time so that you can figure out, you know, when is voice going bad? You know, when is that SAP order entry operation going bad? So monitoring performance is a key part of being able to troubleshoot and determine when and where to deploy different optimization techniques and when you need to change things and being very proactive about it. So we absolutely believe that, you know, that identification of applications and that monitoring of performance and capacity goes hand in hand with optimization techniques in order to you know, improve performance.
Okay. One final area of what new challenges do you think we have to face? I mean, you've been talking about we need to have the flexibility. Highlight one challenge that people need to start considering for the future.
You know, one challenge, you know, as you said at the beginning, I've been in networking for 10 years, and for those 10 years, it seems that, you know, convergence has always been just around the corner. Well, you know, based on, you know, the changeover to MPLS-based WAN services, you know, based on the depreciation of you know, the old line PBX voice switches that are now being, you know, transitioned over to IP-enabled voice switches, from the data that we see a massive turnover to IP telephony on the wide area network over the next, you know, 0 to 3 years. And that's going to have an awful big impact on the characteristics of networking traffic. Because let's face it, you know, there's no tolerance for low quality voice, and as they have that sort of a massive shift over of that traffic type, we really believe that, you know, if you're just looking at the one thing that's really going to impact things over the next couple years, that's one to keep hold of. You know, of course, there's other things like mobility, service oriented architectures that are, you know, at various stages just behind it. But boy, if I were to pick one thing to really focus on, it's voice.
Okay. Do you have anything else you want to add before, as we wrap this up?
No, just appreciate the effort of this challenge, because it really does, I think, provide a useful forum to dig underneath some of the hype and take a look at, you know, how these different technologies compare and how they relate to other types of issues in networking. So not anything else to add except it's a great forum.
Okay, thank you. And if you want to find out more about Packetier and the other participants in the challenge, you can look at the PDF part of the challenge where the vendors all argue their case. And if you have any questions, either contact Packetier at their website, and you can probably find out additional information, and I'm sure they'd be glad to talk to you about how they can meet your acceleration and monitoring challenges. And thanks for being with us today, Mark. Appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure as always, Robin.